Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Piramal Enterprises Limited earnings conference call for Q4 and annual FY 2023. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Ruchika Jain, Associate Vice President, Investor Relations from Piramal Enterprises Limited. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, and welcome to the earnings conference call for Q4 and annual FY 2023. Our results have been uploaded on our website, and you may like to download and refer to them during our discussion. The discussion may include some forward-looking statements, and these must be viewed in conjunction with the risk that our business faces. On the call today, we have with us our Chairman, Mr. Ajay Piramal, Mr. Anand Piramal, Director, Piramal Enterprise and Piramal Group, Mr. Rupen Jhaveri, Group President, Piramal Enterprises, Mr. Jairam Sridharan, Managing Director, Piramal Capital and Housing Finance, Mr. Yesh Nadkarni, CEO of our wholesale lending business, and the CFO of our company, Ms. Upma Goel. With that, I would like to hand over the call to our Chairman and would request him to share his initial thoughts. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, and welcome to our earnings conference call. Today, as we mark the end of FY 2023, I would like to discuss how we have delivered on our strategic priorities over the past year. Our total assets under management stood at approximately 64,000 crore. We have significantly improved our retail wholesale mix to 50/50 from 33% retail and 67% wholesale in FY 2022. Our retail AUM witnessed a 49% year-on-year growth to 32,144 crore from 21,552 crore in the last year. Quarterly disbursements have grown by 34% quarter-on-quarter and 361% year-on-year to 6,828 crore in the retail business. The wholesale 1.0 AUM reduced by 33% year-on-year to 29,000 crore from 43,175 crore in FY 2022. Our stage two and three wholesale assets reduced by 39% quarter-on-quarter to 6,374 crore from 10,369 crore in the Q3 of the current year. We concluded four stressed asset monetization transactions during the quarter through a combination of asset sale and ARC sale. With these, we generated over 12,500 crore of cash realization through accelerated repayments and resolution proceeds from our wholesale 1.0 portfolio in line with the provisions on these assets. We have built a wholesale 2.0 AUM worth 2,792 crore across real estate and corporate mid-market lending. Our GNPA ratio reduced to 3.8% in the last quarter of FY 2023 from 4% in the third quarter. Our profit after tax for FY 2023 grew 5% year-on-year to 1,902 crore post excluding exceptional gain of 8,000 crore in FY 2023 pertaining to the demerger of the pharma business transaction. The PAT for the quarter stood at a loss of 196 crores, led by MTM loss of 375 crores on Shriram Investments. Excluding the impact of this MTM loss on Shriram, our PAT would have been 136 crores for the quarter. As of yesterday, this MTM loss has been reversed by 218 crores. Net interest income for FY23 grew 21% year-on-year to 4,176 crores. We have maintained a strong consolidated net worth of 31,000 crores for FY23 and a capital adequacy ratio of 31% on the consolidated balance sheet. We have maintained a strong liquidity with cash and liquid investments of 7,430 crores despite of all the provisions undertaken during the FY23. Due to our strong balance sheet and improving AUM mix, we have reduced our average borrowing cost to 8.6% for FY23 against 9.6% in FY22 despite a rising interest rate environment. The board has recommended a dividend of Rs. 31 per share subject to the shareholders' approval at the AGM. The total dividend payout would be 740 crores. Now coming to the liability management, our ALM is well matched with positive gaps across all buckets. With 59% of liabilities being fixed in nature, we have remained well cushioned against the interest rate cycle. We saw an improvement in disbursement yield at 14.2% for the quarter. Our average disbursement ticket size stood at Rs. 11 lakhs for the last quarter of FY23. We are consciously pivoting to a multi-product strategy in which banks are less present. Are present majorly in four product categories in retail business, namely housing loans, secured MSME, that is LAP, other secured, currently used car loans, and unsecured loans. Our secured offerings, which include housing loans, secured MSME, LAP, and other secured loans, contribute to 80% of our retail AUM. In these product mix, over 50% lending happens in Tier 2 and Tier 3 cities with an average CIBIL score greater than 735. In our unsecured loan offerings, we are experiencing strong growth from multiple channels. We have served 880,000 customers with an average CIBIL score of 753. As we continue to expand our retail lending business, we are also investing in manpower, branch infrastructure, technology, and analytics of our retail lending business for its future growth. Over the last 1 year, we have added 95 new disbursement active branches. With this, today we have a growing network of 404 conventional branches and 120 microfinance active branches. We have established our presence across India, serving 515 districts across 26 states. We've acquired more than 4 lakh new customers during the quarter. With this, our customer franchise now stands at 3 million, having more than 1 million active customers. Now let me talk to you a little bit about wholesale, where we continue to focus on the resolution of Stage 2 and Stage 3 assets, which will further moderate the wholesale book size in the short term. A focused professional team is involved in monitoring and executing the resolution strategy for complex recoveries and enforcement aimed to improve recoveries and monetization of assets. the recognition and provisioning parts of our asset cycles have been completed. We are now deep in the resolution part of the cycle. We are deploying the following tools for resolution of stressed assets. A, the monetization of underlying assets. B, one-time settlements. Three, enforcement via IBC or other means. Portfolio sales to ARCs in cash and or SRs. We had good success in our resolution strategies in FY23, particularly in the last quarter. We concluded 4 stressed asset monetization transactions during the quarter through a combination of asset sale and ARC deals. As part of these deals, we called out last quarter that we are working on the resolution of a large non-RE holdco loan, namely Mitra. We would like to inform you that we've exited the same this quarter, thereby achieving a reduction of 1,908 crores in a single transaction. We also concluded sale of an NPA portfolio in cash. Further, we concluded sale of certain stressed assets through 2 separate ARC transactions under the 1585 structure. With this, we generated over 12,500 crores of cash realization through accelerated repayments and resolution proceeds from our wholesale 1.0 portfolio in line with the provisions of these assets. All the ARC sales have been undertaken at post-provisioning valuations. Security receipts were issued at 63% markdown to face value of underlying assets sold in FY23. Post the transactions, we received 1,364 through cash receipts and SRs. As of FY23, we have an outstanding SR portfolio of 3,630 crores, and 44% of the outstanding SRs have retail loans as underlying assets. As resolution process continues, we expect more ARC sales over the next 2 quarters and related continued enforcement. We are also focusing on building a high-quality wholesale 2.0 AUM. We are focused to build a diversified and granular wholesale book backed by cash flows and assets that will give loans to well-capitalized companies across multiple sectors and geographies. We've already built a wholesale 2.0 AUM of 2,792 crores by adding 922 crores of loans during the quarter. We will further build this book in a calibrated manner while capitalizing on the market gap. The average ticket size is around 200 crores for real estate loans and 55 crores for CMML loans. What are our midterm strategic priorities? We have drawn our strategic priorities for the midterm, wherein we intend to achieve the following: mid to high teens AUM growth, AUM mix of 2/3 retail and 1/3 wholesale, lending to Bharat markets in retail business, building a new granular wholesale business, keep technology and analytics at the core of lending, ensure a conservative liability mix, scout for opportunistic inorganic plays, achieve a 3% ROA and mid-teens ROE. Now, with this, I would request to move to the questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Nischint Chawathe from Kotak Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. A couple of questions actually. The rundown in your housing book appears to be sort of, rather large. If you could kind of, give up, help us understand what would be the reason for this.
Are you talking about the wholesale book or are you talking about the housing book? I couldn't hear you.
I'm talking about the housing book, yeah. I'm talking about the housing book. Essentially on slide number 8, trying to sort of, add up the disbursements and book book.
Okay. So, see, if you go to slide number 19, that shows the pure housing AUM and how the AUM has grown, quarter on quarter. So, that'll give you a sense. See, in general, quarter four tends to be the peak quarter for balance transfer outs. So you will see higher level of runoff in Q4. That's seasonal, you usually see a reversion, quite steeply in Q1. So we haven't seen anything particularly unusual in Q4 that we do not normally expect.
On the annual basis, your rundown is something like around 23-24%, right?
That is correct.
And any specific reason why it's so large in housing, so high in housing?
See, a player like us who is originating housing loans at, 12%-ish yield will end up seeing a lot of balance transfer outs. So if you compare the metrics to, given the environment where, good quality credit customers are able to get, single-digit pricing. So you will have to imagine that your runoff rates will be a little bit higher. As we disclosed in our on our slides today, our average CIBIL score of our housing customer is 748. So these are pretty high quality customers. So some of them will end up getting competing offers where and that's fine, and that's something that we have baked in into the way we have priced the tranche.
And you're probably assuming a similar run rate going forward as well.
As I said, you have to adjust for seasonality. Q4 is very high from a seasonal runoff perspective, but X of that, yes.
And then probably as your cost of funding comes down, maybe you can offer a lower rate. Is that a fair assumption to make?
I think that's absolutely correct.
Perfect. Just one small suggestion, is that I think the AUM on housing on page 8 and page 19, maybe, if you can reconfirm, probably we can do this offline, but I think, some of the minor numbers don't really add up. One more question is, what constitutes like 8.9% odd fees for you?
Sorry, 8.9%?
Mr. Chawathe, the audio is muffled from your line, so please use the handset mode.
Yeah, so fee income of around 9%, if you could clarify what does it comprise of?
So if you're referring to slide number 12, which is where we have shown that, see, this is fees as a percentage of total income. So the total income, the what we are calling the operating income, which is NII plus fees, that total is about 6.25%, which is what you see in the chart on the top left. So that's the 6.25%. What we are trying to show is that of that, what proportion is fee and what proportion is NII, and what we are essentially saying is roughly 91% is NII and 9% is fee.
Got it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Avinash Singh from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good evening. Thank you. If I sort of try to focus on slide 29, that's where you have given the wholesale asset details and the provisioning. I do understand.
The audio is unclear from your line. Please use the handset mode.
Yes. Is it better now?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So what I am trying to focus on slide 39, where you have given the details about the wholesale asset and the provisioning. I do understand that there is one sort of a chunky corporate account that you have resolved. However, still even adjusting for that, if I see a kind of a provision curve, it has gone down in stage 3 and mildly in stage 2 and 1 as well. So, and what sort of, comfort you are getting that sort of, you are okay with reducing the provision cover That's one. And also, if you can just help us with sort of, you know, that impact of your POCI sort of a recoveries, the impact on the P&L and balance sheet for the quarter and the full year. So, yeah, these are my two questions here.
Got it. So let me try and see whether we understand your question correctly, and we'll try and answer. See, the stage two and three provision pool was about 4,700 crores last quarter, and it is about 2,100 crores now, right? If you look at the actual pool itself, the pool itself has come down from about 11,000 crores to about 6,000 crores, I mean 6,500 crores, give or take, right? So essentially, we've had a 4,000 crore odd reduction in the stage two and three pools. And how does that reduction happen? That reduction, half of it roughly, let us say, is the micro transaction, or a little less than half. But the rest of it is still significant decline has happened in stage 2 and 3 population. And this is when, we are going through the resolution cycle. So as you go through the resolution cycle, the provisions that you have made, you use that to actually either sell the asset or you basically get it off your books. And so that's precisely what you're seeing here. Since we have completed the recognition and the provisioning part of the credit cycle, and we are in the resolution part of the cycle, in the resolution part of the cycle, the provisions that you made will get used up as you get those assets off your books. And that's precisely what you're seeing here.
I'll just add 2 points to this. This is Yash here. If you actually look at the math, in December quarter, stage 2 plus 3, AEM, provision coverage ratio we had was about 45%, which today stands at about 34%. So that 45% that we had in December quarter had Mitra, which had more than 70% provision. So if we exclude Mitra out, and there was a reason why we provided 70% specifically against Mitra, and we actually sold it at a value which was in line with that provision. But if we exclude Mitra from the bucket 2 and 3, for December quarter, then the provision was roughly 37% versus 34. If you actually look at the rest of the pool, decrease in provision is not as material as it appears on the face of it. And the second point I would mention is that in terms of all the monetizations we have seen over the last quarter, including Mitra, which I alluded to, have happened in line with the provisions, which only substantiates our confidence that we have been providing for the stage 2 and 3 assets in line with what the recoveries have proved to be indeed. And would be. Answer your question.
You had also one question on POCI. The POCI book, as we've shown page 38, the POCI book was 3,100 crores. It has come down to 1,400 crores. Some of the that reduction of about 1,600-1,700, some of that was part of one of the two ARC transactions that we did during the course of the quarter. So if you see our slide on our SR portfolio that we have added, you will see that about 44% of the outstanding SR are retail in nature, and that comes from here. So the reason you see the POCI reduction is that it was part of one of the SR transactions that we did.
And its impact on P&L for the quarter?
There isn't any.
Okay. And one follow-up, if I may have a different question. In your this tech or digital partnerships, if the regulation permits, particularly the fintech or NBFC, do you have FLDG arrangements in place, or it is just like a distribution partnership?
We have no FLDGs in place. FLDGs are not allowed by the new digital lending guidelines. So I know RBI is talking about it again based on a bunch of lobbying that's happening from the fintechs, and maybe some version of it will come back in the future. But as of today, FLDGs are not allowed in digital lending. So we don't have any, of course.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhavik Dave from Nippon India Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, sir. Two questions, sir. One is on the yields, and I see that yields are moving up, obviously, because of the secured and unsecured.
Mr. Dave, please use the handset mode, sir. The audio is muffled from your line.
Sure. Sir, just two questions. One is on the yields front, wherein the yields are going up because of the shift in mix. If you could just explain, like, broadly, what would be the yields that we, like, charge in, like, different segments, like home loans and the unsecured fees that we are doing, roughly what will be the yield there? And second is on the operating expenses. Like, I understand we are building a retail business which will require higher costs. Just want to understand the trend line on OPEX, because this year, like when I see year on year, the OPEX grew almost 89%, which is understandable. But going ahead, how will the operating expenses move? Like, how should we think about it? Is it like OPEX to AUM? Is how should we model that number? And then, like, from a one and a half year perspective, and then maybe things become steady state.
Sure. Great questions. So our product-wise disbursement yields are disclosed on slide 41. So you can just take a look at that, and you will see housing we do at roughly 11%, LAP we do at 12.5%, cars, used cars we do at 16%, and unsecured we do at between 18 and 19%. So that creates the overall weighted average of 14.7%. You will notice that in the other slide we have 14.2%. I want to
emphasize that 14.2 is only for assets which are greater than 1 year duration, because there are some short-term assets you do which are really high yielding, but they're not going to be on your books. So from your modeling perspective, it's not super useful to actually keep that in mind. So we disclose separately the yield for assets which are greater than 1 year duration, which is that 14.2% that we disclose up ahead. Otherwise, our all-in yield is about 14.7%. Now, to your point on cost to cost to AUM, the way you should think about it is, as the mix shift, so there are two trends that are happening here. One is that that retail, cost to assets will continue to come down from where it is. Kind of, every year you should expect that to come down. Wholesale cost to assets will probably roughly remain the same. It might come down a little bit. So trend line number one is retail cost to assets will keep coming down. But trend line number two is that retail as a proportion of overall book keeps going up. The net of both of these is that over the next year or so, you will see the cost to assets go up before it comes down. Eventually, we expect cost to assets to settle at about a 3% level. So imagine about 3.5% of retail and about 1% of wholesale, and at a two-thirds, one-third, that gets you to about a 3% overall company-level cost to assets. That's where it will eventually settle down.
Correct. But before that, will it like stay near the 3.5 to 4% mark where we are today, maybe like the fourth quarter?
I think so.
Does that make a fair assumption? Okay. And the last question is on the unsecured piece. The yields like on the microfinance segment where we see 18.5, 18.8%, and like when we see the standalone microfinance companies charging 20% and above, do you think that can like inch up, or what happens there?
There are two parts to our microfinance portfolio that you see here. One part is where we originate microfinance business. That business is being originated at 24% average. The second part of this is some microfinance transactions we did and we continue to do as a direct assignment purchase. And we do this just to get a sense of different parts of the market, because we are still new in this business. So we want to get a sense of where the market is and where portfolios of different states are. So to get a sense of that, we do DA transactions. Those tend to happen more around the 12 to 13% kind of range. So that's the weighted average is what you're seeing here at about 18. The MF that we originate happens at 24.
Perfect. Understood. And last question is on the wholesale side. When we see the PCR that like just spoke about, which has gone down, and like you rightly mentioned, the large account that we resolved this quarter had a 70% kind of PCR. Do you think that this 55% on the stage 3 and like overall for 34% that you spoke about stage 2 plus stage 3, that holds us good for like any other resolution that we are planning or sell down that we are planning for the next year, FY24, like when this book keeps coming down, incremental provisioning requirement on this should not be much, right? Like, is that a fair assumption that
yes,
we like model that well?
Yeah, we believe that's a fair assumption.
Great. That's helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nishit Shah from Ambika FinCap Consultants. Please go ahead.
Good evening. Thanks for taking my question. I would like to understand the rationale for the wholesale book too. When on one side we are trying to reduce the wholesale book one, and we still at 30,000 crores remaining, and we still trying to grow the book too. So how is the book one different than book two? Because what problems we ended up, my apprehension is, what problems we ended up in book one can also happen in book two.
No, so these are two different parts of our business strategy, right? Wholesale one has certain assets where we are seeing stress. Outside of that, which represents stage one, is where we actually are seeing runoff, which is organic and which is coming from the underlying cash flow from the assets. So stage two and stage three is where the issues are, and we are actually resolving that part of the book, and shrinkage is happening predominantly there. So that happens, but that doesn't take away the fact that stage one is performing, and it does allow us to, building a book in this space allow us to actually capitalize on a big market gap which exists by way of doing a portfolio which is granular and which is diversified in terms of the wholesale loans. So our intention, as it, our focus as it relates to the one point of shrinkage is concerned, is on a part of the book, only that part of the book where we have complex assets and we see the problems. Outside of that, we continue to have that book. So it's not that we are exiting 1.0 in totality. And as we reduce that book, we also actually build on a more granular and diversified part of our wholesale business, which is a profitable business to be in, and where is a where there is a market gap, and therefore we think it's a great vintage to start building that book as well, across not only real estate, but also across other corporate sectors, as we call it, mid-market lending.
Yeah, the other question is, can we have the names of the top exposures in the wholesale book one? Because that has been the apprehension in the market. And my question also comes from the fact that on a 65,000 crores book of asset management, under management, your market cap has gone down to 15,000 crores. Market is just not valuing and not giving any credit. There are guys trading it multiple times on book, and we are trading at 0.5 on book. So can we have some more details on the wholesale book one, the names and etc.?
You know, it will not be
able to actually disclose individual account level details. We have never done that, and that is poor practice for a lender to start talking about individual client relationships in public forums. So it is unlikely that we will do that. Your point on kind of you know, market valuations and multiples, we fully understand and empathize with. I totally hear the concern and anxiety that you have, and we feel the same anxiety ourselves. We would like to believe that the quality of our franchise, the quality of the book is much better and much more than what the market values today are ascribing to it. Our best hope is to do our best quarter on quarter to continue to resolve more and more of these assets and show, as we have shown in this quarter, that all the provisioning part of the work is done and that the resolutions that we are able to bring in, the reduction in books that we are able to bring in by genuinely selling and exiting some of these positions are happening at precisely the kind of you know, provision levels that we already have on our books. If we do that you know, regularly, and if we are able to demonstrate to the market, as we have done this quarter, that exits are possible and without taking any incremental hits to P&L, hopefully some of this negative overhang that you are talking about will go away. But that is that's a little bit less in our hands. We'll need to do our karma of actually doing the right thing with respect to the portfolio, which is what we are focused on.
Sir, my last question is on the book one and on an overall basis, are we sufficiently provided now, or are there any provisions yet to be taken? Like last quarter, we had some one-time gain and we had booked against that some provisions. So are we done with the provisions, or are we still to do some more provision?
No, we reiterate that we are done with provisions. We don't expect any more provisions at all. In fact, two large transactions that we concluded in the March quarter proved the point that for those transactions, we did not take any further provisions, and the actual realizations happened in line with what we had provided for. So that only increases our confidence in pounding the table and saying that what we have provided for is indeed what we believe the provisions are required for.
That's useful, and thank you very much for taking my questions. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Piran Engineer from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Just a couple of questions to understand the stage 2 movement. So firstly, we did 2 ARC sales. What would be the total quantum of it? Well, one was 5,500 crores. That's in the media.
So that you're referring to face value, Piran. Don't get confused by that. That does not that doesn't help you understand actually the portfolio very well. What I encourage you to do is to actually look at our page 27, which gives you a sense of the security receipts portfolio. That will give you a sense of how some of those transactions have actually gone down through the course of this year. So if you look at page 27, what you see is that we have taken. Whatever, there was a big original value, let's say 12,000 crores. We took a 60%+ markdown on that, and we received through multiple transactions, many of which happened in this last quarter, a purchase consideration of 4,600, of which we received 700 crores of cash and about 4,000 crores of SR. And since then, out of that 4,000, we have received a further 660 as cash. So we have about 3,300 left. This is for the full year. A majority of it or a large part of it actually happened in Q4. So I'm just using this as a base. This is a better way to actually understand it. So here, as you see, we are doing a transaction at a significant haircut to the face value. So on average, about 63% haircut to face value. So if you just look at the face value number, which is what sometimes the press quotes, and they say big numbers like 5,000 crores, 6,000 crores and all, that seems really, really large. But actually, the transaction size is not anywhere near that large. We are talking about a transaction which is, 60%+ haircut from there. And the haircut has already passed through our P&L, either through purchase price allocation or through, P&L hits that we have taken in prior quarters. So that's been kind of the nature of these transactions.
So basically what you're saying is that this 4622 crores is the value of the loans. This 4622 crores was in stage 2 and 3? Or was it a higher value? That's all I'm trying to understand here.
No. It will be a lower value. See, basically these consist of, actually I was using this more as a baseline to give you a sense of how to think about the ARC transactions. So if you were to look at our stage 2 and 3, if your intent is to say, okay, let me just figure out which of the, what are the movement in stage 2 and 3 and what went in, what went out. So let's start with stage 2. In stage 2, firstly, there was no incremental stage 2 creation that happened during the course of the quarter. Nothing moved from stage 1 to stage 2, right? There was zero movement from stage 1 to stage 2, no slippage happened. So that's kind of, point number one. In terms of sale to ARC, there was about 500 crores, so 500 crores from stage 2 and about 500 crores from stage 3 that were part of the ARC transaction. Plus,
sorry, can you repeat that? 500 crores from stage 2 and 500 crores from stage 3.
Yeah, and there is some other POSI stuff as well. You'll see POSI reduction that has happened. So that's also part of the multiple ARC transactions. So there were 2 ARC transactions that happened during the course of the quarter.
So that gets me back to my first question. So just tell me the value at which of these loans that you were carrying on your book that was sold to ARC. Forget what the media says. What was it on your book?
No, so if you actually look at the page 26, the stage 2 plus 3 AM reduction, there is a pie chart there, right? Out of the 4,000 crore reduction, about 20% came from the sale of ARCs in the 1585 structure, right? That doesn't take into account the sale of NPA portfolio for cash, which is the 10% additional. And since it was the net cash, there are no SRs. But that was nevertheless an ARC transaction. So 20% of this 4,000 crore, which got transferred, is equal to 800 crore in terms of the book reduction, but that happened at a loss of 200 crore. So the claim value in these assets which got transferred were about 1,000 crore.
Okay, so I think I'll take this offline. And just secondly, if I have to just think of credit cost for the quarter, in simple terms, you've you had a net loss on the recognition of financial for 2,900 crores, but which has a gain of 130 crores from your bond buyback. So it's roughly 3,000 crores and a provision reversal of 2,500. So it's fair to say that the credit cost for this quarter is 500 crores, right?
No, no. There is, the credit cost for this quarter is 300 crores only. The bond buyback and all was from previous quarter, Viran. This quarter, Kushni, why was it? There's only 300 crores credit cost this quarter. Of that, that's about 50-50 retail and wholesale. The retail part is almost entirely stage one. And the rest of the stuff is
MTM loss.
Let's go
around about here. MTM chode though. If I just look at your numbers, there's a 2,900 crore net loss on derecognition and correspondingly a provision reversal of 2,500 crore. So that is 400 plus the 130 crore gain on on the bond buyback.
If I just draw your attention to page 32 of the, I think you're referring to the SEBI results, we'll bridge it for you. Page 32 of the IR deck, we try to simplify here. So we've combined the 2-3 line items into ECL losses / fair value loss gain. If I just focus on the 2-4 numbers, which is the first column, that number is 298, which was the 300 referenced earlier. So for the quarter, there is no bond buyback gain, etc. The total number is 298 crores for the quarter, which on an annualized basis, the percentage of credit cost is significantly lower than what we went through in the first 9 months of the year.
Okay, okay. That's fair. That answers. And just lastly, in terms of the SRs that you are holding up to 3,600 crores.
Viran, your voice is breaking. We can't hear you.
Is this better?
Yes.
Yeah, so the SRs of 3,600 crores that we have, are there corresponding provisions on the liability side? If we...
Piran,
SRs are investment instruments. So there is, unlike a loan, there is no provision outstanding against them. The way you work on SRs is you keep taking fair value hits, which already goes through the P&L. The point of page 27, which is where we have got all the details of our SR portfolio, that is to make the point that these SRs have been haircut by 63% from where they were originally outstanding. And after the transactions, we have already received 11% more as cash from the transactions already, right? And the remaining 26-odd% is what you see outstanding on our book right now. We have also disclosed here that these SRs are about 45% retail and 55% wholesale. The reason we make this point is to tell you that a lot of it is very granular, where there is predictability to how much of it will actually get recovered, and hence pricing it has been relatively straightforward and easy.
Got it. Okay, that's all from my end. Thanks, Piran.
Thanks, Piran.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vivek Ramakrishnan from DSP Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. My question is on the wholesale book in terms of how do you expect the resolution, roll down to happen in the current year, and where do you expect it as a natural close part of the inflows, where do you expect it to close at the end of this year? This is the wholesale 1.0. And in terms of the SRs that you just spoke about, where did the retail SRs come from, and interesting that why didn't you just resolve it on your own, and why did you need to sell it out to as SSRs? Those are my two questions. Thank you.
Okay, so I'll address the first question. Just a few data points as we alluded to earlier. But in FY23, we reduced the wholesale 1.0 by a total amount of 14,000 crore. And in the last quarter of FY23, we reduced the book by 6,000 crore. So 6 out of 14 came in the last quarter. So we're quite happy with the momentum that the book reduction exercise has taken, because we are running this as a project where a dedicated team of people working, just with the objective of working on this complex asset resolutions. Going forward, in the next 12 months, we wouldn't give any specific guidance, but we would want to maintain the momentum that we have built, and we do expect us to make quite material progress in the direction of reducing this book further.
Your point on SRs in retail, all the SRs came from the erstwhile DHFL portfolio.
you might recall that when we purchased VHFL, or the retail part of the VHFL book had a 26-27% NPA ratio. So we have been carrying that with us for a while, and we had that as part of our POCI book. You will see a reduction in the POCI book, you know, shown in the presentation. That's the part that has actually gone into SR. You know, one could have actually kept it and continued to recover from it ourselves as well. However, as you do as a company, as you do resolution strategies, where there are, you know, accounts that that you want to resolve and you want to actually, you know, create pools of assets for which there will be potential buyers in the marketplace, you know, you will always mix and match assets of various asset classes to make pools attractive and to find enough buyers and for there to be enough price tension when you go out to sell. So that's what's behind some of these transactions that you see.
Okay, got it. Thank you very much and good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chintan Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead. Chintan Shah, your line is in talk mode.
Hello. Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. This is Chintan Shah from ICICI Securities. So two, three questions from my end. Firstly, on the wholesale portfolio only, so basically, if you could just help me with some color on the portfolio which is under stage 2 and stage 3, so would that, how much of that would be towards RE and towards non-RE? Is any ballpark percentage?
It would be predominantly towards RE. A small part of that would be towards non-RE.
The single largest non-RE risk transaction just went off our books, Chintan. So pretty much what's remaining now is largely RE.
Okay, so and so, so under RE, so only ballpark on how much is it worth under construction?
Sir, but the audio is not clear from your line. Please try.
Okay, sure. Hello. Yeah, so on RE, which is under stage 2 and stage 3, so any ballpark on how much would be towards under construction projects?
Most of it is under construction projects. But at different stages,
sure.
I mean, we don't have specific data that we share.
Yeah, that is fine. Okay, sure, so understood. And so secondly, so now as we are building this wholesale 1.0, where a company is looking to build a granular ticket size portfolio, so is there any cap on a maximum ticket size beyond which we won't be looking to enter for that account, lending towards that account?
No, so as a matter of our credit policy, we have all sets of limits, clearly. But if you look at page number 29 and 30, that would give you a good sense of how we are looking at granularity here, right? And from here, I think our portfolio is expected to get more and more granular. As far as the real estate part of 2.0 is concerned, as you can see here that the outstanding is about 1,296 crore as of March across two deals, across 10 deals, which is roughly 129 crore per deal in terms of outstanding, but in terms of sanction it's roughly 200 crore. We also have a strategy that we are actually putting in place for small developer financing piece, which would have an average ticket size of 25 to 30 crore. So there are two distinct parts of our real estate wholesale build out strategy, where on the first part the average would be in the range of 200, and the second one will have the average of 25 to 30 crore. So that will give us a weighted average in the range of, let's say, 150 crore or so as we actually progress. On the corporate mid-market side, as you could see, we have built a nice granular portfolio across multiple sectors and across multiple positions where the average ticket size is 55 crore. This is on page number 30 of the deck.
Sure. So under wholesale 1.0 also we have average ticket size of roughly 200 crore, right?
No, that was for stage one part of it, where the average was smaller, but otherwise the average was much larger.
So the good part of wholesale 1.0 was average of 200, but the part where we had a challenge had a much higher ticket size.
Sure, understood. And so just one thing on the margins front, the last question. So the cost of borrowing actually for this year, so it has improved for us, and relatively also we have been benefited on the yield side. But so going ahead, given the next year, so do we face any challenges on the cost front given the repo rate hike, and also do we expect the yields to sustain given that we are largely focusing now into the retail piece? So any thoughts on that would be helpful. Yeah.
No, No, I think we are. I think we'll, we are, the margins will stay around here, or you know, in the near future as well. See, there are in the very short term, let's say Q1. You know, right now you will see some of the accumulated effect of pass through of repo rate increases that might happen. So you might see a little bit of cost of funds increase in Q1. But overall, as we get through the latter part of the year, our house view is that that rates will stabilize after Q1 and maybe start declining towards the very end of the financial year. So you should see some impact of that coming through from our side as well. As far as the yields are concerned, yields have had upward trajectory for a while. There's a little bit more steam left in there. You might see a little bit more upward trajectory in yields as well. So while there might be a little bit of upward trajectory in cost of funds, there is also a little bit of upward trajectory in yields. So on the whole, we're not super worried on that front. If you see slide 12 in our presentation, you will see our operating margin, which is NII plus fee margin, and that has been relatively stable around the 6.3% kind of mark, and that should give you a good idea of where we are going to be in the very short term.
So just one last thing, if I may squeeze in, on the credit cost part. So I think our credit cost was around 1.9% in Q4. So probably, can we expect this kind of run rate or to sustain for FY24 as well, somewhat near this range?
See, we're not offering any specific guidance for FY24, but as Yash mentioned before, we believe that the provisioning cycle as far as phase one wholesale is concerned is completed. Now, most of the provisions, if at all, that you see are all going to be about new business that we originate and the stage one provisions that come with that according to Ind AS. So that depends a little bit more on the growth of the businesses rather than on asset quality. So growth is what's going to drive provision numbers. So we feel like we are getting there in terms of what normalized credit cost may be. We will not be quite there just yet, but we are kind of getting there.
Oh, sure, sir. This is very helpful. I think that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Praveen Rathi from Praveen Rathi and Associates. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. My question is for Jairam. First one is for regarding the professional and legal fees paid during the quarter and for the year. And the second one is our position pertaining to the deferred assets of DHL. And the third one is anything on Shriram Finance CSL.
Okay. See, the first two questions, I don't have them readily available. I'll have somebody kind of reach out to you and give this to you offline. If you could, we will just, our IR team will just send you. I don't have the specific, professional legal fees numbers, with me offline. As far as the Shriram sales stuff is concerned,
maybe I can add, at the very fag end of last quarter, large part of the value of Shriram is now in listed shares. And that's one of the key reasons why the P&L has swung this quarter. We own 8.34% stake in Shriram Finance. It's listed. We have no lockup. We don't sit on the board. As we've discussed before, now that it's listed, at the right time, we will be looking to monetize this stake.
Sir, the deferred assets, which was on the books and which we are currently showing in our books, in the notes account also, Is it a net deferred tax asset or the gross deferred tax asset?
No, it is net, but it's not on our books right now.
We are showing on our notes account basically.
Correct. So we are showing it in the notes right now. We have not brought it onto our books yet. So we will, at the right time, in speaking with our auditors, etc., we will decide on what is the right time to actually bring it onto our books. So far, we have not done that. So we have spoken in the past to you all about pockets of value that exist on our balance sheet. Some of the pockets of value, you have seen them actually get realized over the course of the last year. This is one of those pockets of value which is not yet realized and it still remains with us.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Jairam Sridharan for his closing comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much, everyone, for your participation in this earnings call. We will be available to you to offer any further details or clarifications on our results. Thank you for being part of the call, and have a very good evening.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Piramal Enterprises Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.